Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Solomon's Porch Ministries. We thank you for tuning in to our Sunday broadcast with Pastor Philip Moses. As you listen to today's message, may it refresh and revive your spirit and connect you to your purpose. Now introducing Pastor Philip Moseby.
Wow, that's incredible. I just thank God for giving us this opportunity. I am so pleased that we are part of a worldwide community of believers. And tonight we're at Solomon's Porch. Just want to introduce you to our new format. We're streaming. We want to welcome you to Christianity Unplugged, which is the name of our broadcast. Christianity Unplugged is our unique interactive Bible study. How about this? And it takes us through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it's a great format for you, the listeners. We thank you for being a part of our what we call the CU Nation, now at record numbers. We thank you for tonight, even, because we're going to be going into what we call our chapter review, and this is the where we allow the members to, and those of you who call, you can call in or you can ask your questions via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. But we are literally receiving questions, and you pick your favorite book or verse or chapter, I'm sorry, in the book of John, and you kind of espouse or do an expository, if you will, kind of explanation of that scripture. But so be finding your favorite scripture, and we're going to start from the top. I love the fact that I get to start off with the chapter reviews, because I get to give my favorite verse in the book of John. My favorite verse, of course, is the first verse. It's the first verse, probably all the way, really the first chapter, honestly, because I think this is quintessential what Jesus Christ is to us, and it gives us an explanation of who he is. So I just like to start with a prayer, and then I'm just going to give my two cents, and I'm going to let the studio audience and those of you who have questions outside of even the studio audience to kind of ask your questions, and we're going to go from there, or state literally your favorite verse of scripture in John. Father, we thank and we praise you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to speak your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, that Father, the book of John was absolutely what we needed. Father, it took us through just us knowing that Jesus is deity. Father, we already knew it, but the book of John, because he was the eyewitness, he was one of the apostles, one of the disciples. Father, it showed us, Father, that he is deity, he is God. And Father, as we peruse even further on into the Bible, what we do know is that your son, Jesus Christ, is all we need, Father. And Father, we thank and praise you, Lord, that even tonight, Father, those who will speak, Father, will change some lives, Father. Our perspectives, Father, on the word of God, Lord, means, I know, Father, a lot to you, Father, but it means a lot to the body of Christ when we explain what it is that we love about your word. So, Father, I'm asking that there'll be some lives that'll be saved, some healed, delivered, and set free just because of the gospel that will be talked about and spoken about tonight, Father. We thank you, Father, and we love you, and we give your name all the praise that is due in Jesus' name. So for me, as I said, my favorite scripture in the book of John is John 1:1. It's really the whole chapter, but I'm going to just start with John 1:1, and I'm going to ask everybody else to kind of weigh in. It says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is so poetic, but it's who Jesus is, and I like to kind of break it down because it gets into some real theological explanations of the deity of Christ. It says, in the beginning, and that word beginning is not just the beginning of this book. We're talking about the beginning of time. What beginning means is before everything. So even before there was anything, Jesus was there. And I like it because it mirrors how Genesis starts off when it says God created the heavens and the earth. And I think, and I know for a fact, reading scripture, that Jesus was right there when God created the heavens and the earth. But it says right here, in the beginning was the Word. So it begins to describe, I think, the character, the nature begins to describe the entity that Jesus Christ, serves in the triune or in the Trinity. The Bible says he's the Word, and that Greek, that in the Greek is the Logos. And it's the written Word, but I really believe that the written Word, the living Word, is who Jesus Christ is. What an awesome explanation of who he is. He is the Word. The volume of the book is about him. Every word in the book kind of sums up who Jesus Christ is. So it becomes a pleasure and an honor that we can allow Jesus Christ to come into our heart, the Word. But it says something when a believer accepts Jesus Christ into their life, but they don't accept the discipline of studying the Word, because he is the Word. You want to know Jesus? Get into the Word. And I love that, because that begins to be kind of the rudiment of the Christian faith, that we understand he's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And I love it, because that's the definition of who Jesus Christ is. My question to you is, if he's your personal Savior, if you have a personal relationship with him, why not have a personal relationship with the Word of God, who he is? Amen. And I believe I can kind of beat this dead horse, but that's positively who he is. He's left us exactly who he is, and that's the Word. And it says, not only in the beginning was the Word, but it says, and the Word was with God. So this Word in the beginning, the Logos, the Word who Jesus Christ embodies, was in the beginning, and it says he was with God. So even in the beginning when God was, and of course, we know before everything was, God was. Before time was, there was God. God was before time. Amen. God literally stepped into time. But even before there was time, Jesus Christ was there. So I'm beginning to, but as I'm teaching this, there's a powerful understanding that we need to understand that the Word was God. And it's interesting, because I'm hearing some technical things. I think they're gonna get that worked out. Bless their hearts back there. Amen. So it says, and the Word was God, was with God. So in the beginning was the Word, but the Word was with God. We're starting to feel now the triune nature of who Jesus Christ is. He was with God even before time, in the beginning. And then it says, finally, and the Word was God. So it tells us he's a part of the Godhead. I love it, because the Bible says, and I think it's in Genesis 1:26, it says, and it's when God was, I'm going to turn back to that because I don't want to get this, I want to read it just like it is. And God said, let us, and isn't that amazing that that God was an us? That even in the beginning, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, there was an us, there was God, but there was also Jesus Christ there. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So there was the Godhead even in the beginning, and Jesus was a part of the Godhead. Now we realize, according to the first chapter of John, verse 1, that he was the Word. So anytime God utters the Word, I think Jesus Christ embodies the Word that God utters. Amen. And the Word was God. Now, the same was in the beginning with God, and it says all things were made by him. So everything that was created by Jesus Christ. He made everything. It says, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life, and that life was the light of man. So the Word now becomes the light. So when I've got the Word in my heart, it becomes a flashlight, a path for me to show me where to go. The Word is my pathway. I mean, it lights my pathway. If you don't know which direction to turn, go to the Word. It becomes the light. And I love it, because Jesus, the Word, the Logos, becomes my flashlight for where I'm going. It becomes now, in a world of darkness, listen to me, in this dark, evil world, now the light turns on because I've got the word. You with me? And it says, in him was the light, was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness. Of course, the darkness can't comprehend it. Darkness will never comprehend the light. I think this is so symbolic of spiritual things, because I think we're trying to embrace darkness and try to steal, you know, we're trying to say we're saved, but we want to live these dark lives. One thing dark don't understand is the light. You can't mix those two. And I see believers all the time trying to mix the light and the darkness. What light does, it destroys darkness. What the word will do is destroy the darkness in your life. Put it in your heart and believe it and act on it. Watch it change. Amen. Watch it prosper you. Number six, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this, of course, is not John who wrote the chapter, but this is John the Baptist. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. So he came as a witness. Isn't it amazing when Jesus left? And I can show this to you in Scripture. It's in Acts chapter 1. When Jesus left us his Holy Spirit, the first thing he said, when the Holy Spirit came, it's going to give you power. But what did the power give us the ability to do first? It gave us the ability to be witnesses. And it's amazing right here that John was a witness. The Holy Spirit, the first thing he does is calls men to witness, to tell about who Jesus Christ is. You can't know God and not and be and you know have the embodiment of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in your life, and not become a witness. It's too many believers. See, once we get Jesus inside, he got to come out. There's something within us that we got to tell it. We got to tell somebody because it's good news. It changes our very lives. And it's something that John, he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. His job was to testify and witness of the fact that Jesus was coming. And I think this becomes the life of a believer, that we're to witness and testify who Jesus is. Amen? So all men might believe. God will put a witness in you so others can believe. Amen. Most of us are sitting with the witness and won't let the witness out. And I'm telling you, that's a dangerous place to be. Amen. He was not that light. Now, he wasn't Jesus Christ. John wasn't. And so ain't you. And I said that exactly as bad as I wanted to say it. You aren't the light either. A lot of us, I'm telling you, we start to walk in the things of God. We see God begin to prosper us, give us gifts. We can lay our hands on the sick, and they will recover. And we become the light all of a sudden. And it wasn't you. It was him. We may speak a prophetic word, and somebody's life is changed forever. And we become the light all of a sudden. We aren't the light. He's the light. What we are, we're a reflection of his light. Amen. Give him the glory. Amen. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I think this speaks to the believer and what our mission should be, that we should be this witness that John the Baptist is. We should be the billboard talking about Jesus everywhere we go. Amen. We should be the one that's telling about light so other people can believe and their path now can be bright. Now, verse number 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So he's the true light. And every man that comes into the world has the ability to get the light. How can you get the light? You don't have to accept Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the word becomes or is the light, which lights every man's path. But he says it lights every man that comes into the world. 10. Now, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world never got a chance to meet him. What he's talking about now is in the biblical time when Jesus walked the earth, the Jews who were God's people, they never got an opportunity to know who he was. He was in the world, the Bible says, and the world was made by him. He created the world, but how about as he walked the earth, the very world didn't know who he was, did not know he was God. 11, he came into his own. He came into the Israelites, the Jewish people. Come on now, into Jerusalem, his own people. These were the people that God handpicked. He came to his own, Israel, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to do what? To become the sons of God. All you have to do is receive him, even to them that believe on his name. I know I went a long time, but this chapter talks about who Jesus is. If you can get this in your spirit, if you can memorize this, I think that's the center. This is what is essential to the Bible. So it becomes very important that we understand that the book of John lays out kind of the foundation, if you will, of who Jesus Christ is. The Bible calls John the beloved. He was probably Jesus' most intimate friend on earth while Jesus walked the earth, of course, earthly friend. And Jesus loved him and he loved Jesus. And it's just so interesting, his intimacy allowed him to write give us such an understanding of the foundation of who he is. Well, I can go all day. I know there's other people that got things that they want to say, things they want to talk about, but I can talk about this, and I'm telling you, it would take up all of our time. But I'm going to actually give the floor now to those who may have a favorite scripture, may have a favorite verse that they want to talk about. I'm going to actually give you the microphone and allow you to speak your mind concerning the things of God. I want everybody in here to raise your hand. I want to even hear from those who may be listening by way of broadcast. If we have, I don't even have my information there, so you guys, producers, you're going to have to let me know who's calling in, who's texting, who's Facebooking. I need to know who wants to weigh in, all right? So who wants to be first in the studio audience? Everybody's hand goes up first. Amen. I can't have everybody to go at one time, so can I just have somebody who'll come forward and get the microphone? Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So your favorite scripture in the book of John, and you need to kind of face the camera because I think the camera wants to get to know you. Yes, you got to.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Favorite scripture, but it's a pretty
in the book of John. It's your favorite.
In the book of John, it's a pretty heavy scripture that,
okay.
That I think that should be highlighted in the believer's life.
Okay.
And that scripture in John is in chapter 4.
Thank you.
Verse 24.
Gotcha.
And in that verse, it says,
"Oh, that's good.
Spirit.
Yeah."
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Oh, this is going to be good.
And, you know, my thoughts on this scripture is, when you, first of all, you know, this is what is expected of us as believers, and to be in spirit and worship in spirit at all times. You know, and in truth, and just going to God, you know, no man can worship in flesh, and no man can encounter or experience the true presence of God without denouncing or forsaking flesh. When you come to God in spirit and truth, you open yourself up to receive the mighty presence of God and His fullness. Therefore, leading you to share in a perfect communion with your Father. Truth be told, we are to live a life in the Spirit. When we do this, it enables us to be guided, to be protected, and to be directed into the destiny that God has purposed us for.
Okay.
So when you don't take advantage of the opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity of immersing yourself in the spirit and worship, in a worship posture, nothing. What, but there is there's always a plus, an additive. You know, you connect yourself constantly, instrument in spirit, with being before God, and that's what is required of us as believers. So,
even as you're speaking on that, I got one thing I want to bring out because I thought that was a beautiful scripture. Here's my point about that. What precedes that scripture, what precedes that verse of scripture is Jesus talking to this woman at the well, this Samaritan. And let me say this, because the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jew, as according to even verse number 9, the Samaritans, they, what the Jews call them, were half-breeds. So they were literally not even considered to the Jews to be fully Jewish. So the Jews really didn't spend much time in Samaria or with Samaritans. But it's amazing that Jesus went through Samaria, because Jesus loved all people, but he went through Samaria and met this woman, and he began to talk about thirsting for God. He told her to give him some water. And he kind of, and I'm paraphrasing, told her that this water, he says, that you're giving me, I'm going to give you a water that you'll never thirst again. And so this Samaritan woman who Jesus kind of met at this well, he began not to speak life into this woman's heart. And it's interesting when he said God is a spirit. Well, God is spirit, and he that worships him in spirit must worship him in spirit and truth. That's just such an interesting place where Jesus Christ ended up in terms of talking to this Samaritan woman and got her to the spirit, to a place. He was just trying to let her know who he was. He was God, but he had a drink to give her, symbolic that she gave him a drink. But he was telling her, I have a drink to give you that you'll never thirst again. You'll never have another thirst again. Amen. This will be a water that'll give you life. So it becomes interesting that he talked about God as a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And she came to realize that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. I just thought that was great, and how you brought in that worship piece, because worship is so important to the believer. We were made to worship God. And I know that's cliche-ish, but it's absolutely the truth. We were made to worship Jesus Christ, worship God. Amen. So did you have anything else you wanted to say relative to the scripture? Because I thought it was a great scripture. I thought you did well with that.
No.
All right. So we can move on to whoever wants to say something next. If you can give the mic to Tara. It looks like Tara about to fall out of her seat. She's so ready. Let's talk about her favorite verse of scripture. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. And she's going to hide. We got such a shy group in the house tonight. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Ah, you went there, huh? I didn't think anybody was going to go there. You went there. I love it. Well, let's read it, and then let's, because somebody may have never, I don't know who this might be, but somebody may have never heard or seen this scripture. Uh-huh. Read it one more time, because I think you left one sentence out. One more time. Uh-huh. There you go. Now, what does that mean to you, just if you had to break that down?
To me, it means sacrifice. It means compassion. It means without that.
Absolutely done. That's it. That's what I mean, our whole Christian walk rests on that scripture that he gave his life. That's so incredible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And let me tell you something. He risked everything. I always said he bankrupted heaven. He gave up everything in heaven. And he would have done it. I really believe this, and I've heard this before. But I really believe if you had been the only one, Tar, here, he'd have done it just for you. I think he would have. That's the love that came from God to send his only begotten son. And I'm just saying what the victory is in that scripture, that whosoever believeth in him, and that believe is big, pastuo, to have confidence, full trust in God. And I always say put all your eggs in one basket. I don't have a plan B when it comes to my salvation, when it comes to, you know, me believing in deity or God. I don't have a plan B. If Jesus ain't the way, I'm done. I don't have an exit plan. He is my exit plan. That's what that word pastuo means, to put all your trust, all your confidence, all your belief in the fact that Jesus died. He was buried and he rose. Everything hinges for me on that one scripture. I love it. So do you have anything else you want to say? Because we've got like 2 or 3 minutes left. Go ahead.
It also gives us a standard.
Yeah, it does.
You know, because if we're to be like him,
well, there's a scripture, and Chris, you got to help me with the scripture that says we almost have to carry our cross and die daily, just like Jesus Christ did. So what you're saying is absolutely, absolutely true. I think we have to do what it's calling for. I think it's ultimate sacrifice.
At the same time, it's a powerful place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So we got like one or two more minutes left. Chris, would you like to weigh in? Favorite scripture in the book of John? 2 minutes won't do you with it. That'll just be an introduction. You got somehow? You got a 1 minute verse? We'll make one. www.imanut.com.
Real quick, 1910, when Pilate.
real quick.
Jesus answered him.
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't say anything, and Pilate said, "Don't you know
that I have the power?" Yeah.
And Jesus said,
"Dude,
you have no power over me
whatsoever."
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Those that deliver me to you.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that suffer.
They're going to have a problem.
So let you know about those individuals that try to deliver you to the snare of fire. Those folks.
Right. They're the ones that got the problem. Right. Yeah. So he's talking about that Jewish group, but you're saying even present day. That's some real stuff. So, I mean, we can go on and on. I'm scared to even. I think we have some people who are online who wanted to kind of weigh in. And what we'll do after we go off air, we'll kind of weigh in on their kind of scripture. We're going to hear everybody's scripture before we leave. So how about it's been a plumb pleasing pleasure of me serving you guys tonight. And what I want to do is I want to invite everybody out this weekend. Those of you who are local to the Atlanta market, we want you to kind of come out this weekend. We're having a relationship. I call it a relationship fest. We're going to have a Valentine's Day buster service Sunday. We're busting up all the mess that people have been talking about relative to relationships, and we're going to put all the cards on the table. But I think this weekend we're going to fix some relationships. So bring your girlfriends. Bring your boyfriends, bring your husband, bring your wives. Bring those folk that have been looking at you like they want to date you. Bring them to church Sunday. We're going to rescue some lives this weekend. So we'd love to see you with 2697 Tilson Road in Decatur, Georgia, 30032. So come on out. And what I want to do now is have our announcer to let you know who we are. Remember, until next time, go away and sin no more. Let's worship God.
You've been listening to Christianity Unplugged. We thank you for tuning in this evening. To get plugged in with more electrifying messages, books, and DVDs, please visit us at spmatlanta.org. If you would like to come and get powered up during our Sunday services or up-and-coming events, we can be located 2697 Sultan Road, Indicator, Georgia. And remember, go away and sin no more.
Amen, amen.